Good. Here we go. Oh, I spent some time today. Well, here's one. Totally off the direction here of an email like a week or so ago. Remember that it was an infusion church? They called it Infusion Church down there in San Diego. This was like a couple of weeks ago. They were having a pizza party, barbecue, and a welcome spring fun day with a climbing wall and a bounce house. Now, we could use a bounce house. They're also giving away an Xbox and tickets to the Padres. Then they say this. They say you'll experience in their brochure a casual environment, inspirational music that rocks, quality kids, learning experience, and authentic people. Oh, wow. I'd like to go to a church where there's some authentic people, you know, real people. We just must be mannequins or something here. I don't know. So, there's some Bibles down here if you're interested in buying Bibles. But here we go. Don't know if you folks are authentic or not, but here we go. Got that going. Should be all right here. Oops, now I got that going. Not that timing matters. Interesting stuff. Talking to the guy today. Oh, we're going to call this thing, Paul Disputed with the Apostles. That's like half the title. We're going to talk about his disputing he had with some apostles. And my comment is, it's the same thing we do when we talk to people about the Great Commission. Or just generally modern Christianity. Not the modern stuff, because they don't do anything with apostles or anybody. They just make up their own stuff. But these are Bible kind of guys. And I just got onto a guy today who was just not getting it, whatever. And he's a Ruckman graduate. King James Bible, they say all the way kind of a thing. And rightly divide. And they don't. And I just let her fly in this one. And here was one of his comments. I told him about, well, have you even listened to any of the sermons about what I'm preaching? For you to say what it is that you think I'm preaching? He says, I can't sit in my chair and listen to a 30 to 45 minute sermon. I usually listen to sermons on a CD or tape while I'm driving. That's his extent of study. As he drives around, he hangs up scripture signs, which is going to get him to heaven, makes God happy there, I'm sure. And I can't listen to a 30 to 45 minute sermon. Well, I don't do 30 to 45 minute sermons anyway, I told him. But, you know, I've got that a couple times. They just don't want to sit down and listen to the sermon and they take somebody's outline and deal with that. He gave me a lot of information for tonight anyway. And here's another one I got from Clarence out down there in South Carolina. I just learned that an academy, he goes to this fire academy thing he kind of teaches there. One of his employees just finished Bible college. Now he doubts half of what the Bible says. Says we'll never know what God is saying to us because we have not found all the written documents that are still out there to be found. And that stuff is still locked up in Rome's vaults that they have not given us access to. there's the reason why you send your kids off to Bible college. So, anyway. Here we go. Because of sin, this is to a Christian now. Your prayers will not get answered until you get whatever it is forgiven. This is for somebody who's already a Christian. Salvation is one thing you have to have in order to have fellowship with the Lord. You can't lose your salvation. But because of sin, you can lose fellowship with the Lord, as in not getting answers to prayers, not knowing what the Lord wants for your life, losing assurance of salvation and everything. This is just average common thinking when it comes to today's Christianity as such. They threaten their people with no fellowship from God. They put a big number on unconfessed sin. If you haven't confessed all your sin, then you lose something. They talk like they're anointed. They don't have anything in the Bible to show for it other than what they think, and that's an anointing concept they have there. They look at the fact that God told them these things. That's a Pentecostal teaching. And again, that's an early Paul when God did tell people these things and did it to them in part, and we understand all that stuff. But if they do any rightly dividing, it's verse by verse, which means you can pick a verse out of Peter, you can pick a verse out of Hebrew, you can even get some stuff out of Psalms and Job and Numbers and Gospels and maybe something out of Paul, but Paul's pretty rough because he's pretty specific. We don't want to deal with Paul. And so that's what they call division. And when you talk to them, And it isn't just the leaders. It's anybody who's serious about their church, even halfway serious. Somebody who's not serious at all doesn't recognize that there's anything wrong anyway. And you're not going to, I believe we're not going to get anywhere somebody who thinks everything's just fine, hunky-dory, whatever. If you've got somebody who's, you know, wants to talk about spiritual things and wants to talk about God and stuff, and you bring this sort of thing up, then you're going to find out really where they believe. Just like that lady the other night says, God speaks to me in my left ear. What did she say? In my left ear. She said that. And Sharon made a point that she said, in my left ear. So, you know, really made a point of that. And we realize that the Bible's just out of touch with everybody. That's the results of the fruit of all these modern Bibles. Nobody believes any Bible anymore, so they just believe what they think God would be. And talking to him today just bothered me, because I realize what I'm talking to here is somebody who's just going to pick a verse out of nowhere. And I got to thinking here. Look at Galatians 1. I'm going to do a lot of scripture chapter reading tonight. And if anybody is interested in going into the details, you can read this on your own out of Galatians and Acts. But I just want to just talk here a little bit about the fact that when we talk with somebody who's in the Great Commission or even some kind of a different denomination, if they claim any Bible at all, or possibly even some of those that we consider a cult, but they still say the Bible's the Word of God, even though they read somebody else's writings, or somebody else's books, or listen to somebody else's sermons, that kind of a thing, then we're really still talking to somebody who thinks that, okay, they're a Christian. And they know that in order to be a Christian, you have to have your sins washed away. So they believe that. And they realize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and a lot of them do, most of them do, not all of them. And they believe that Jesus Christ washed their sin away. And if you ask Jesus in your heart, or if you commit your life to Him, or whatever it is that you've done, that makes you a Christian. So then once they realize that they're a Christian, then they have to make sure they go right back to the law and walk everything just right, just perfectly. Because if they sin, then they better get that thing confessed. And so really what they're doing is they're going right back to the law again. That's what this is. Now, whether they're talking in the Scriptures as far as the Levitical law or Moses' law, but what Jesus had to walk was the Old Testament law. So if they're going to go back to the Gospels and try to follow what it is that Jesus did, why? He's already done it. So they tend to believe that, okay, so Christ did what He did. If you haven't lost Him by now in your conversation, you're going to lose Him here in a couple of minutes. But if they even go that far, that yes, Christ washed away the sins and this type of a thing, took care of sin. And as soon as they say that you're a Christian, then they got to start telling you that then you better not do, here's the law again. And that's really what Paul was dealing with. He was dealing with Jews who believed the law. And then he was dealing with some people, Jews and Gentiles, who mostly the Jews are going to deal with here in a minute here, but those that are believing the law get saved, go right back to the law again. That's what Paul was dealing with in Galatians. So we're looking in Galatians. And which is why maybe in verse 6 he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Okay, it's very possible that he's referring to somebody who's a Christian there. Because he says, so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ. So this is somebody who's gone on and yet is going to go back to another gospel or to a different gospel or whatever. Now, we see that in verse 8 that Paul talks about, you know, whatever gospel it is, it could be from an angel from heaven, it could be what anybody else says, it's a perverted whatever, that kind of a thing. But he does say in verse 7, that it's the gospel of Christ that is perverted. And they can go to, like I said, they can go to some other far out stuff too. But he does say, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. It's so amazing that you had Christ as your Savior based on faith, and now you're going to go back to that law. And this is what he argues with here. Look at verse, look at chapter 3. Verse 3. And he says to them, Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So what he's got going here, he's got some people who think, well, yes, I needed to put my trust in Jesus Christ, and now that I have, I'm going to go back to the law. And now I got to follow all these sins, not follow all these things, to make sure they're not sins. And if they are, you need to confess them. Because if I don't confess them, I can lose my fellowship with God. And a lot of these people don't believe you can lose your salvation. So what do they say? You can lose your fellowship. They know that you can't lose your salvation, but you can still lose your fellowship. And that's what they throw at them. And look at Ephesians. If that ever pops up again, here's what you tell them. You go to Ephesians chapter 4. Sure, you can get out of sorts with God, but it isn't God that's leaving. God is not going to forsake us. He said that. And he'd have to deny himself. There's all sorts of things like that. He's faithful and all those things. We're the ones. And it says here in verse 18 of chapter 4, you know these verses here. This is the vanity of their mind. This is people that, if you notice down in verse 20, quit reading their Bible. Because, see, we believe this Bible is the Word of God. These are the words of Christ when we read Paul's writings. So, when somebody quits reading their Bible, they're no longer going to have any understanding. Understanding is going to fade away. They're going to have ignorance come back. Their heart's going to get blinded. They're going to start getting into past their feeling. They're going to get into uncleanness and greediness, fleshy things. And that's exactly what's going on. It isn't the fact that God has broken fellowship for somebody for them sinning. If you're out of sorts with God, it isn't because you're sinning, it's because you quit reading your Bible, and this is where the source of understanding comes from. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And see, the reason this bothers me is because I'm talking to Bible-believing guys here now. I'm not talking to these modern Christians. I'm not talking to people that never really did believe the Bible was the Word of God anyway. I'm talking to the guys that believe that this Bible is the Word of God. And you go on to 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter, is that what I said, chapter 2? Yeah, chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 9. And I've read these verses before, and they're very impressive to a new Christian, because it says in verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Are you starting to feel puffed up a little bit? So God's going to give us these things. Wow. "For what man knoweth, but God reveal, okay. For what man knoweth the things of a man, or say the spirit of man which is in him?" I mean, we know about men's stuff. Even though the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." Boom. These people say that they're Christians, and because they're Christians, they got the Spirit of God in them, and they have this understanding given to them, comes into their heart, comes into their mind, comes in their left ear. It comes in their feelings. Whatever it is, this is how God speaks to these people. And that's what you would think. But now we see that whatever God gave to people, He gave to them in part. So they're doing fine, and they wanted to grow, and they would follow Christ more, and they'd listen to Paul even more, that kind of a thing. They would grow with understanding, because Paul would teach them some stuff, and God would give them things. But like Paul said, when this thing comes along, that which is perfect has come. All that stuff from God, just out of the blue sky kind of a thing, is gonna be done away with, and there it is. You want understanding, you get into your Scriptures. And I got a bunch of verses here on understanding, but there's no need. "Lord, give thee understanding in all things. Consider what I say," Paul says. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Okay, you want to get an understanding with what God says, you got to listen to what Paul says. And you got to read your Bible. There's where your understanding comes from. And if you're not going to read your Bible, and you're not going to rightly divide, and you're not going to zero in on Paul, you're not going to get an understanding. So, because they don't get an understanding, they think they've got one. By not rightly dividing. So they sit down and try to talk to these guys, and they take you right back to the Old Testament thing as far as, listen, yes, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. He washed your sins away. Now you can go the Seventh-day Adventist route. You can say, but if you sin anywhere, especially having church on Sunday, then you've taken the mark in your history. You better confess these things, but you can't confess that one. You better get that thing fixed. Okay? Or you can go the Catholic way where they believe that confessing your sins is forgiveness, so that's salvation. I mean, if God's forgiven me, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, it's even right there in the Bible in 1 John. Or you go to all these different denominations of what they teach, and God tells them these kinds of things. But no, you've got to consider what I say. That's Paul. And there's where your understanding is going to come from. So we're dealing with people who will not consider what Paul says. Now, which we know that. This is nothing new. That's nothing new for us there. Let's go to Galatians. And let's look at something here. Paul had to dispute with some people. Galatians dealing with the church of Galatia, obviously, but there's some interesting people in this thing. This was written way back in the early part of Acts, around Acts chapter 14. And if you go back and look at Acts chapter 14, there's plenty of Jews around. So there's a lot of Jewish talking here. Paul was talking he wouldn't be spending a whole lot of time talking to the Gentiles about the law. I mean, they didn't have to follow the law. Reliable, okay. And they had just had to follow their conscience. And that was getting seared already, even in Paul's day. So this is really like a Jewish discussion in many, many ways, but these would be Jews that got saved, as such, by what Paul taught. Because he says, I marvel that so soon you've been removed. You removed yourself, or it says here, so soon removed. So, putting that in our terms today, here's somebody that gets saved by grace. They don't think you have to earn your inner salvation by works. They know better than that. But once they're saved, now they've got to go back and they've got to start walking better than they've ever walked before. Because if they don't, they lose fellowship with God. Or they don't have any understanding. Or their prayers are hindered. Or their prayers are actually, as they say, never make it through the ceiling. Their prayers are not answered. You have things happen in your life because you have unconfessed sin. So I asked the guy, is it possible the reason that you don't have anybody in your church is because you had unconfessed sin and God's not giving you people to preach to? And then he becomes very defensive. Well, of course he would. He says, well, I was just ahead of God and he had all these justifications. And no, that's not what it is at all. It could be the fact that this guy preaches nothing but about black people down south and the president. That's all he talks about. I mean, that's all he talks about on his website. He doesn't believe that could be possibly a reason why people are tired of what he has to teach. So that's not the point, I guess, although he's not preaching Paul. And I said, you know, Paul says they're supposed to preach his ways in every church. And preaching Paul's ways. So anyway, it's just a frustrating, is it not, just a frustrating discussion with people over this stuff? And look at Galatians chapter 1 still. And look at verse 11. We see here that Paul even tells these people, listen, this is not my teaching. This is not something I've come up with. This is not from man. This is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we go to Ephesians chapter 3. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it is. We go to Galatians chapter 1. Where else is there? Where Paul talks about the fact that Christ taught. Oh, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26 with King Agrippa. There's places that tell everybody that Christ, the risen Savior, talked to Paul. And people put their trust, I'll say it again, people put their trust in Christ, but then they go back to the law, which is what he's talking about here. Now look at verse 18. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Okay, so now we're looking here at some important people. These are law people. These are the gospel crowd. So what I recommend that folks, you just read Galatians. We're not going to go through all the thing of Galatians tonight, much as be the way to do it. But you read the first couple of chapters of Galatians, you're going to see what Paul was doing. And he was arguing with some of the uppities. For example, let's go to look at chapter 2. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicate unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. We know that. That's, you get these important people, the prideful people, the bosses and stuff. They don't dare meet together as a group because they're supposed to know everything. You know, the uppity-ups, they have reputation. And Paul says it wouldn't do any good to go talk to all of them in a group because they're just not going to give in. So he knew that. And then he says, neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Why would he be compelled to be circumcised? Somebody must be telling him to be circumcised. That's the old law. So here you are, you're saved, or you're talking to somebody who was saved, and you find out that somebody told them, okay, now that you're saved, we need to get back to those Gospels, and we need to realize that here's the Beatitudes, here's the things that we're supposed to do, and if we don't do them, we go to the law, we go to confession, because if we don't confess them, we can lose our fellowship with God, or prayer, or whatever they can throw at them. That's going back. See what I'm saying? They're going back. And we're gonna learn a little bit here from Paul that that's what he had to do. Paul had to talk to Peter, he had to talk to James, and even talk to John. And these guys fought Paul. Now, there were some times where they accepted what Paul was teaching, but there were some times there wasn't. So here's Paul, going back to Peter, James, and John. And those three guys are in a what? They're in a, yeah, very good. They're in a sailboat. See, that's the boat we don't want. We don't want to be on the sailboat that Peter, James, and John are in. But here's Paul talking to these three guys. And for us today, Peter, James, and John represent the Great Commission. Peter's got the books of 1 and 2 Peter, and he tells people what it's like to suffer and how to have faith during that whole thing. But if you don't walk the walk, you don't walk that holy walk, you're done. You get into John, and John talks about the stuff where you have to confess your sins, and you have to walk the walk, and if you do any sinning at all, you're not born of God. And if you even hate a brother, you've lost your salvation because you're a murderer. We know there's no murderers in heaven kind of a thing. So you better get this thing fixed up. Then you got James preaching what he teaches in James to the 12 tribes, scattered tribes and stuff. So all three of those guys represent the Gospels. Those three guys to us today represent the Great Commission or just general modern Christianity. So how did Paul deal with these guys? So we should be able to learn from that thing. Let's go here. We're still to look at verse 4 now, Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Am I making sense? We're gonna go back. The people we go back with is the same thing Paul had to go through. He had to go through the big guys. And that, because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, which we have, all things are lawful, but can't cause anybody to stumble. They must be expedient, they must edify, they cannot bring you under the power of, and you can't do it for the occasion for the flesh. But even those things you can do, you're going to reap from it. It'll burn in your judgment seat. Or cause some problems down here. It's hard to say. It depends upon how that thing comes out. And look what it says in the end of verse 4, that they might bring us into bondage. These Christians that are gung-ho Great Commission or gung-ho Jesus or gung-ho Gospels or whatever, they're in bondage. They don't realize this. They're in bondage because if they go to bed at night and they haven't confessed all their sins, they've got the fear of losing fellowship with God. Well, like the one guy I talked with, he thought he could even lose his salvation anyway. So we've got friends out there in the Webb family out there who have left the church, and one of them's even talking to some of the people back in the church, and they're giving this guy a hard time. Well, that is an exact story of what happened with Paul talking with Peter. Great Commission, James, Great Commission, and even John. And even though some places in here they gave him the right hand shake, hey, it's good to see you, Paul. And yet he argued with him about what Christ really did for him, the risen Savior. And the purpose that brings him under bondage. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you, but of these who seem to be somewhat, the important people, you know, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Paul could care less if he was a boss, if he was a CEO, or if he was a janitor, if he was a musician, or if he was a teacher, or whatever he was. Didn't care to bother him. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now there's a place right there that says anything taught by Peter is to the Jews, circumcision. And Paul's to them, circumcision. For he that wrought effectually, I think I read that one, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. Now, that's good. They saw that Paul had grace. That's what they say. You got grace. Glad you let us come over and be talking with you. You got grace. Oh, thank you very much. The right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Okay, so Peter and John and James and Cephas there, and with Peter and all that whole thing up there, they're no ministries to the Jews. Only they would that we should remember the poor. That's good. Take care of the people. Be the Christian you're supposed to be and remember the poor. Oh, please do. The same which I also was forward to do. So Paul doesn't say that he's going to ignore the poor. You know, it's just like somebody said to me the other day, well, do you even preach against sin and repentance and stuff? And I said, man, where did you get the idea that we don't? I said, Paul's teachings have so many things that we're supposed to do differently than not even Jesus doesn't even come close to the number of teachings that Paul. Paul's very specific. And yes, if you're going to change your life, that's repentance. That's throwing out the old and getting the new. Well, listen, we're new creatures. We are redesigned totally. And anyway, so why do they think that we don't preach against them? There's people that's quit this church because they told them things that Paul preached and Titus and Timothy. They're not here because of that. Is that not preaching about sin? I don't know what it is. They just never called it sin because Paul never calls it sin. He calls it something that's going to burn in the judgment seat. It's a bad testimony. It's a bad profession of faith. It might even be a false one if you're not that serious or whatever. So here they're saying, listen, by the way, just remember the poor. And Paul says, I still remember that sort of a thing. Now here's what happens in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, he got a problem. See, now here's where this great commission, this Paul preaching stuff, just isn't all hugs and hankies, as we said Sunday night. I like that, hugs and hankies. You know, there's all this happiness. Well, look at this. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Here's Peter. Now he's eating with the Gentiles, and the Jews show up. Okay? And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Now, here's a grammar thing. Dissembled, assembled. Dis is to take apart. I learned that. Isn't that shameful? But anyway, I learned that. The disassembled, so it becomes a mess. How do you know that? Well, keep reading. Dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Remember the confusion of love, that kind of a thing? So, here's Peter. Peter preaches what he's preaching to the Jews. And now he goes off with the Gentiles, and then Barnabas and there, Paul is there, and then these other Jews come in, and Peter's not going to, he just turns into a mess. So what happens when you're talking to somebody who's wondering why you go to this church, or why you believe Paul, or whatever, or you've left your church, I forget it's over there, why you've left your church, and you preach what you're preaching, and they're stuck with all this Great Commission stuff, and they start talking, and you start talking, somebody else comes in and starts talking, you get yourself a whole pile of confusion. That's what happens. And you get disputing, and you get arguments going on. But when I saw, verse 14, this is Paul, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, he saw that they weren't doing what Paul's preached, what he's learned up to this point. I said unto Peter, before them all. Now, there's a tough one.
He did not take him aside and say, Peter, let's go talk in the back room, right in front of everybody. If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, if I do this right, I just never get this right here. I always say it wrong. Here's how I'm going to do this thing here. Somebody comes along and they say they're a Christian. And they based it on the fact that Christ paid for their sin. Then if this is what you're doing, why, the way you're living, are you going back to the old stuff? The bondage, the law. Why are you doing that? Make sense? Read it again. If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? If you say you're a Christian, why are you living like what you were beforehand, following the law? And you say you're a Christian. Why are you fighting this battle back here? Didn't Christ pay for all your sins? Yes. Does He not impute any sin? That's right. Did He take care of the law? What do you mean? Let's just say that they say yes. Yes, He took care of the law. Then why do you got to confess? Well, if you don't confess, you lose your fellowship. And it's like, excuse me, we lost you here somewhere. Just like Paul says to Peter, in front of everybody too. This had to have been a pretty decent disputation. A little bit of disputing going on here. We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, which, by the way, that's what great Commission is. These Christians who say they're Christians, suddenly going back to what Jesus taught, that He had to walk. Remember, He hadn't even fulfilled the law yet, so it still existed. And remember, this in John it says that the Holy Spirit hadn't even been given to people yet. And He says, don't go to the Gentiles. So what are you, who says that you're a Christian, why are you going back to the stuff that wasn't even supposed to be taught to Christians? Why are you going back to the law? And you're saying you're a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? I don't know. Could it possibly be they have another Jesus? Could it possibly be they're being given another gospel? Well, sure, it's because Paul's concerned about that. So here's Paul. Who's he talking with? Peter, John, James, the big guys. So we can't be surprised that the average person out there doesn't get this. Their pastors don't teach it that way. This way, they don't teach it that. Those pastors say you need to come up here and get saved. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Go back to the computer if you would. And they put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. As soon as they say that, sign the card and they get their offering statement filled out and all this kind of stuff, then the pastor puts them right back on the law. Now that you're saved by faith, now don't do this and don't do that and don't do this, because if you do, you're going to lose fellowship with God. You're not going to have your prayers answered. Things can happen to you. Who's still there? Okay. So do you see what I'm saying? We're looking back and seeing Paul dealing with Peter, James, and John. And it's the same thing today. Those guys represent the Great Commission, the gospel teachings, and this is who we're dealing with all the time. It's amazing. Okay, let's keep going. Now he says in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Yeah, that's right. We believe that. But by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. That's right. Yes, you do. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. They don't know about that one, but they kind of go, yeah, we believe that. Yeah, sure. And not by the works of the law. Oh no, not by the works of the law. We didn't get saved by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Yes, that's true. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. See, remember, we can choose to follow sin now. We're not dead in sin. We're not attached to the sin. So even though we do something good, it still can't please God because we're in sin. We're living in sin. We're wrapped around to that thing, Romans 8:8. But once we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we're cut away from that flesh, we choose to follow sin, but Paul still doesn't call him ever a sinner. Transgressor, we'll see in a minute, and they're false. And all the things that we do that wrong, all the things that we do that are wrong to do based on Paul's teaching, will burn in the judgment seat. Sin has been taken care of. It's just been taken care of. It's not imputed. Okay, so anyway, if you can teach them that, it says, if we ourselves are also are found sinners, meaning you served sin, you chose what was in your flesh there, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? Well, no, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Well, sure, we're still following sin. We're still choosing to serve sin, Romans chapter 6. But we yield to it. We're choosing it. We're not forced to do it at all. He took care of that. It'll burn in the judgment seat. It isn't going to be listed as sin. You don't lose your fellowship with Christ. You don't lose your salvation. You don't lose your prayer. It doesn't, you know, that kind of a thing. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So Paul is all about living unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Sure, you're going to do something wrong, and he's going to leave you. Right. Sure, you're going to do something wrong, and you're going to lose fellowship with God. Right. That isn't what that says at all. Not at all. Now, here's the kicker verse. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So here are these Christians. They call themselves Christians today. And again, I'll say it again. They put their faith or something. They say that they're a Christian because Christ did whatever they think he did. And then right off the bat, they're back to the law. And it says right there, they're frustrating the grace of God. Because now they're going back. And they're saying, yes, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this, I need to do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't, you know, that kind of stuff, based on the gospel teachings, which are the Beatitudes and all that stuff. And if you don't follow those things, you'll lose your fellowship, you'll lose your prayer, you'll lose all this kind of stuff. That's bondage. That's frustrating the grace of God. Then really what you believe, that you took Christ as your Savior, but suddenly you got to go back and do the things yourself, then Christ is dead in vain, isn't he? Well, no, why? Well, you seem to think that you got to take over your spiritual life now. See what I'm saying? And this is the stuff Paul was fighting with these guys over. Look at verse 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1. Who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, which is what they say they have, but now, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? You know who has bewitched these people? Pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, all over, as Jason would say, the stinking world. This is everywhere, and I'm really starting to get by the whole thing. You talk to anybody and that says they're a Christian, you want to try to show them the King James Bible, you want to show them a little bit about rightly dividing, you want to show them a little bit about Paul, or you want to explain to somebody why you left your church and you're doing things differently, you got an excitement about your Bible again, why your wife is dressing differently, why you're acting differently as a man and a husband, why you're doing things with your children differently than you've ever done before, why is that? And as soon as you tell them, they say, well, that's crazy. That's crazy. You don't sin. I don't recall saying that. You mean if you do something wrong, as you would put it, then you don't lose fellowship with God? That's baloney. What do you mean that's baloney? You're the one that's been taught by your pastor that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you get saved, now you got to go back to the law. What's with that? And my whole point is, before I get grumping about that thing, this is what Paul's talking about. Now, and this is why I say, now, from this point on, if you understand what I'm saying, read the rest of Galatians, and you'll see the issue that Paul has. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why would he say that? Because these Great Commission people are trying to get you to go back to bondage. Try to get you to go back by the fear of God, that if you don't confess those sins that you're doing right there, because you're still sinning, you know, then you're in big trouble. That's what they're trying to do. That's just bondage again. And you've been made free. You're a different creature. You're all things are become new. It's an amazing thing. And you'll see more things here that will help you understand what it is Paul's dealing with and why Galatians is the way Galatians is. Galatians is to those people who think that now that you're a Christian, Here's the law. And they're skipping the fact that the risen Savior has gone to Paul with like so much new stuff about being made free. This is the book where you get your all things down there in verse new creature in verse 15, Galatians 6:15. Chapter 6, verse 1 talks about if anybody be overcome in a fault, how we're supposed to restore them in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, because it can happen to you too. And I'll tell you what, a great commission, or any kind of a modern Christian, but I'll tell you what, if the pastor's divorced, he's history. He can't talk to anybody about God anymore. There's so many things that a Christian can't do anymore because of some things they've done based on these people that preach what they preach. That's just baloney. So why are you so upset? It's everywhere. Now, let's go here to Acts. Let me show you something. Let's go to Acts chapter. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. Now we're talking about Galatians, so we're going to go to Acts 15, and this is also the same thing that's taken place. Again, we won't read the whole thing because it'll just take too much time to do that. But I would encourage you to read now Acts chapter 15, based on what we talked about here. Make sure I got everything covered. Tonight was a penciled sermon just because. Verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Here it is. See, there they are. This is Acts 15. This is early ministry. Paul's a lot of Jews in this crowd. I mean, he's still talking to these guys. And here they come. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, Jason talked to a guy, still on there? Jason talked to some guy the other day from his former church for, I think he said, 6 hours. He said the guy left, he said this is real, he was staggering to his car. He hadn't ever heard this before. And he was interested. He wanted to hear more. Jason, show me some more. So Jason just kept showing him stuff, and Jason goes, I didn't know I knew all this yet, but it's just, there it is. And the guy is going, I've never seen this before. And it's just clicking with this guy. And yet, he's also, as has Hugh Floyd, got it. Is he on? They're gone, right? He got a chance to talk to his district manager, and he got a chance to talk to his district manager's manager. And I said, Hugh, I hope you're still working there, because the district manager was a Baptist preacher. So Hugh was bitten off an alligator, and I haven't heard how it went. But he said they were very interested in this stuff. But it takes forever to talk to these folks about this stuff. It's just so new to them. And yet, let's see who else is out there. Stephen, he's been talking to people at the school. He's got a little Bible class that he does at the school. Amen for Stephen. And Brian out there, he's had to deal with this one couple, and that he'll hear this eventually. That it's just, he's finally realized, you know, I got to just pull the plug on this crowd. And he's trying to get his daughter's getting into some issues now with girls' sports and things, and he's learning to deal with this stuff. I tell you, this is just like Paul said right there. It says in Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. I mean, it's a big time. It's big talk. And this guy today, oh, I tell you, my fingers are tired. I'm practicing the piano more so I can type to these guys. It's the only way we can talk to them. It's just amazing. And it says, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Okay, listen, Jason and Brian and Clarence, all you guys that are trying to get out of this church situation, people are going to say, hey, what are you quitting for? What's going on? I can't believe you quit the church. Have you talked to the pastor about this? And remember, Clarence went back to his pastor about a year ago, and his pastor ate him alive. And he wrote us a letter and said, you guys are crazy, da-da-da-da, you know. And then a couple months later, Clarence says, can I come back? Because what's going on in our church is just crazy. Who was it that wrote, Alex wrote, everybody's just having a horrible time with finances, and the whole country's got him just scared to death. And he says, in the church, all of a sudden, we need to have money to build a building and a sound system and a new parking lot. He says, now what are we doing spending money? You know, that kind of frustration thing. So, you know, that's what's going on. So I want these guys to go back to Jerusalem and talk to the apostles. What are you talking about, Paul? And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through probably Phoenicia, I suppose, Phoenice, whatever, Phoenice, and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Wow! So, we have had an opportunity to talk to some people amongst all this dissension that there are some people that are really getting some joy out of this thing. They're excited about their Bible. They're willing to go to... They're fighting for this stuff right now in our little web families out there, all over the place. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God hath done with them. So, that's good. I could stand if I take my list of people, I could tell you some of the things, because I forget most of them. All the things God has done in these people's lives. But they have had this. These men have struggled and fought over this stuff. John McCord, major struggles with the other family that's involved. Sharon with her family and the niece that committed suicide and or tried to commit suicide and is going to get the hugs and hanky treatment, you know? That's amazing. But look at verse 5, here it goes. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Sure, I'm so glad you folks are Christians now, but by the way, let's go back to Jesus' teachings. Let's go back to the Gospels. Let's go back to the law that Jesus was fulfilling, and if He fulfilled it, let's fulfill it by following Him, and we'll do exactly what He did, and we won't sin anymore. We'll stop sinning, and if we do sin, we'll have to confess, because He's righteous to forgive us of our sins, whatever, and He'll do that, and if you don't know if you're going to bed or not with sin or without sin, and it's like, oh man, and they're right back to bondage again. That's what these guys are saying. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And Jason had a meeting with Kenny. Jason had a meeting with Doug and Damien, I think, the other day. I mean, these guys are still, Jason, what are we talking about here? And Kenny's going, I see this stuff. This is amazing. We want to make sure that we preach the right thing and we're talking about the words of God. That's a good start. One of them's talking, it's a musical family. I can't wait to get involved with them. And they're registering some stuff here, but they're still asking a lot of questions, as we still are. And when there'd been much disputing, there it is, Peter rose up. Peter, and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Oh, excuse me. That's not right. My King James Bible must be wrong here. No, this is history. This is what took place here. Peter thought he was the guy. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. See, that's Acts chapter 2. The tongues of fire and the... See what he's talking about there? And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So now that's, he got a good point. You're a Christian now, and they go right back to the Great Commission, right back to the teachings and all this stuff, and what is that? Just putting a yoke on everybody. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now remember, what did Paul do with Peter? To his face, Peter, what are you doing, living the way you're living right now, and saying what you're saying? You got a problem. Back in Galatians chapter 2. 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God hath wrought among the Gentiles. Whoa, Gentiles, miracles and wonders. That's Jewish stuff. Isn't that amazing? And after they had held their peace, James steps up to the plate. Now James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. Well, that's true. Remember that, Paul. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. So here's James talking about, yep, that's right. Peter's talking about the right thing, and it's just a matter of seconds here, and the Lord's going to come back. We're going to build this kingdom down here. And here's what you're going to have to do. James chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 See where this is fitting in? Okay? And Peter says what he says to the Jews. Life's going to get rough. John's amongst all this stuff saying what he's going to say to the Jews and all the things that are going to be rough. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And doesn't go that way, though. Paul is a man. So, when Paul straightens out Peter, which he does in Galatians chapter 2, Paul straightens out Peter. Peter's off. He's kind of like out of the picture now. But he's already written what he's written or done what he's doing, however that thing fits into the place. God steps in Paul's little dispensational thing, which he already has, but he's clearing the air here with all this confusion with these great commission guys. And Paul goes on and preaches what he preaches. Peter, his stuff, James and his stuff, John and his stuff get shoved to the back of the Bible for the tribulation coming pretty soon. So Paul had to actually deal with the guys who wrote the tribulation books. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, Peter. And they fought about it at first. I like 17. I don't know if it's a preachable thing or if it's just whatever it is. Not enough men here to hear it anyway, but out there are in the Webb family. He says that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world, and they know these things and they learn these things. I like that residue of the men. In other words, there must be just a few more men that'll take this battle and take it on. The residue of men. Just whatever's left. The residue. Remember, residue is just like a little bit that's left over. There must be a few men out there still, and I think we've got them on our web family quite a bit with what they're going through, that they're willing to stand with Paul and tell people about this Paul's teachings and the Great Commission, this circumcision crowd, or go back to the Jesus Gospels and try to live that, or do the confession thing, or do the fear of the losing fellowship and all this stuff. They're not taught what Christ really did for them at their salvation. They don't get the joy. They don't get the peace. They don't get the direction and the guidance and how to live their families and how to make these changes. And I won't get into that now. But that's why, probably, I hate to say things this far in advance. We're gonna look at the Great Commission again Sunday, a little bit anyway, because that seems to be the crux of everybody's teachings out there. And it's actually what they consider, it even says in the writings, that that's the way to happiness, is to follow the Beatitudes. So we're going to look at this Beatitudes. I said Great Commission. We're going to look at the Beatitudes again Sunday. Unless something totally comes up between now and Sunday, and I don't want to do that or whatever. Which has happened 1,000,000,000 times. But I'd like to look at this thing again because what's going on out there is absolutely what Paul dealt with when he dealt with Peter, James, and John. And that's funny old sailboat, rowboat. John Peter, gentlemen, sailboat, fishing boat. And it's wrong. And this country, like I might have said earlier, I'm not bothered by the perverts and all that stuff, the Whitman College crowd and the people that mock God and all this kind of stuff. They're a reprobated mind. They're anti-God. They've been taught just out of it. They're not interested. They laugh in His face, and they got the judgment of God coming. But it's those that say they're Christians. And they're not getting it. They're being lied to by their family, by their pastors, by their dads, by their husbands, by their wives. It's just a huge thing that's going on. And they're missing what it is to be made free. We're not set free. We're going to still do dumb things. We just are. Our flesh... I was thinking this the other day that you've heard me say, so don't get offended about it here, but most of the troubles I've had within the church are from ladies who have a Pentecostal background. You've heard me say that. And I was thinking about that the other day because I was talking with one of them, and I from out there that's really come just a tremendously long ways out there, some part of the country. And I was thinking, do you realize that when somebody's lost, we're not turned off yet, right? When we're lost, our flesh picks up on all this junk of the world and the sin that's in there. And this Pentecostal stuff does not make you a Christian. I'm convinced it does not make you a Christian. It's another Jesus. It's a false gospel. And I think it's demonic. because devil uses speaking in tongues and signs and wonders and all that kind of stuff. So that's how the devil gets into their flesh, and they do this stuff. And this lady said, I've done that. And, okay, so we get saved. And we're cut away from our flesh. Where our soul is clean, it's going to stay clean. Anything that's going to happen within our flesh, it's sin, it's going to burn in the judgment seat. So we're okay with that. But I just believe that that Pentecostal stuff is still in that flesh. And that's got to be really a tough battle. Even for a man who gets caught up in the Pentecostal church, but in the earlier days it was like mostly ladies all the time, a couple guys, all that stuff. And there's more getting into, but men aren't men anymore. And so the flesh that they're dealing with is not just crummy, rotten flesh. It's demonic flesh. I mean, it's a Pentecostal flesh. Or it's whatever you've been taught has gone into your flesh so much that that's what you're going to fight all your life. Whatever you're brought up as a kid, child or whatever, sorry, kid, child or young person, a really young person, whatever we feed your flesh to be as you're brought up, and you get to the point you need to finally trust in Christ and you get the circumcision of Christ and you're cut away from that, us parents have prepared their flesh that they're going to fight all the rest of their life. Because it's still in the flesh. So can the devil possess a Christian? He can possess his flesh. Can't take his soul. But that flesh is still there. Which explains why, I do this just for the record here, which explains why during the tribulation, when they'll have to walk the walk in the flesh, God will put the Spirit of God upon their flesh. Because that will have to be cleaned up. And it'll take God to do it. And if they trip up and they mess up, they're going to have to confess it. Because it will spot their flesh. It'll defile their flesh. And they get it, they confess it, and it'll be cleaned up, just like he says. And that's the stuff that's being taught today. That they've been set free, and you haven't been set free. You've been made free, and the flesh is still rotten to the core. So when Paul says, when somebody trips up and messes up, hey, it's the flesh that did it. Now remember, he says, overtaken in the fault, you who are spiritual, help them through it because it can happen to you too. And we are so quick to bury somebody, get away. Paul says to get away if it gets to be a problem, so we know that that takes place. But he also says they're still not your enemy. I mean, all this stuff is just racking through your brain, doesn't it? When you read and you start to put all this stuff together, it's like, oh, you can't even talk to somebody without going 3, 4, or 5 hours because it brings in all that other stuff. And that's why that guy, Jason, said he literally was, I never heard this, kind of staggering to his car. I've never heard this kind of stuff. It's mind-boggling, but it's exciting. If this is really your final authority, and that's the test, is this really your final authority? Because if it is, and it's rightly divided rightly, it's amazing what we can learn. But like I said, that's not meat. That's just the average stuff you ought to be able to get by reading. The meat is changing from serving idols to serving the living God. That's the meat of what Paul has to preach. So Paul fought Peter, John, and James. Paul fought Peter, John, and James.